Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I'm so glad that you joined us today because it's time for another roundtable discussion with our Bible Talk team. If you listened last month, we kind of had our debut show. I've got these Power Hour girls on once a month to join us around the table to talk about Scripture. Author speakers Andy Andrew, Irene Rollins, and Carolyn Haas join me each month to dig into Scripture together. Some of the things we'll talk about today are, one, how to gracefully face our flaws and reframe our fears, how familiarity can sometimes hinder the best of what God has for us and for others, how to operate in our true identity and how to refuse to allow our pain to silence us, and how our calling sometimes takes us, maybe often, takes us out of our comfort zone. Quick announcement before I introduce the girls. Spring fundraiser for us is next week. Will you be praying for us? So often we do experience a lot of attack on our health, on our technology, all kinds of things, but it's also a massive big party because we celebrate what God has done. We get a vision for what God might do, and we're all doing it together. So will you just prayerfully join us, stand with us, and join the party next week? It's going to be great. We sure appreciate it. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Andy Andrews is the author of She Is Free, Faker Follower, and Friendship. It's Complicated. She's the podcast host for Coffee with Andy. She's a passionate preacher who loves to see the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ outwardly practiced and powerfully in our everyday lives. Based in Charleston, South Carolina, Andy's life is currently focusing on raising her four kids, writing, and investing in local churches and lives around the world. Irene Rollins is passionate about the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health of all people. As a certified emotional intelligence coach, she loves to study human behavior, enabling her to understand a wide variety of people, guiding them to be the best version of themselves through her teaching, writing, and coaching. In March of 2021, she and her husband Jimmy transitioned from pastoring and launched a marriage ministry called 2 = 1. They now travel speaking, coaching, and investing in marriages around the world. Carolyn Haas, you've heard her on the show plenty of times. She's co-lead pastor of Substance Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She and her husband Peter planted Substance in 2004. Carolyn is passionate about church leadership, parenting, and marriage. She serves on the executive team at Substance and also serves on the board for One Hope. She travels the world encouraging and equipping church planters and pastors through the Association of Related Churches. She loves being a mom to her three kids, and in her spare time, you can find her with her family or shopping for deals online. And this is the one time I'll have you all talk together. Welcome, ladies.
Yay.
Good to get the band back together. I'm so excited about today's conversation. Hey, before we dig into what God's been impressing on your heart, I want to say we're giving away two book bundles today. So a book from each of us. So you'll get, two of you will win a bundle of four different books. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So if you listen often enough, I ask my guests every day, what's the Lord been talking about these days? Well, the purpose of this Bible Talk team is to give more time and space to that question. So Andy, we're going to start with you. God's been talking to you about how pain, if it's not properly dealt with, causes us to isolate, to go silent, and operate out of our false identity. Say more about that, if you would.
Yeah, so I have been in Genesis. At the beginning of the year, I started with my daughter to jump back into Scripture with her. She's reading through the whole Bible. And I said, well, I'm going to read part of the New Testament and Old Testament with you as well. And, you know, sometimes when you go back into Genesis, you're like, oh, I've read this before. But man, I had so much fun just like as God opened up this part of Genesis 4 that deeply actually spoke to me in a moment. And it's out of Genesis 4:26. It says, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. And so I was like, okay, at what time? So I backed up and was reading it. And it's at the time that Adam and Eve's grandson, Enosh, which is Seth's son, was born. So this is three generations since the fall, three generations of silence and pain, three generations of internalizing everything that had gone down. And I just started to go into that place where I went, wow, the generational silence of not calling on the name of the Lord when Adam and Eve used to walk in the cool of the garden with God. Like, they had this connection with him. And then after they were cast out, there was a silence that fell upon them. And I was thinking about that. Honestly, Adam and Eve's pain would have seemed insurmountable. When you really go there, I mean, they were cast out of the garden, which, when you really look at this, it was an act of mercy, you know, allowing our redemption rather than living this life of perpetual sin in an unredeemed state. But then I think about this, and you make it personal sometimes. Their first son kills their second son. Their firstborn son is then exiled. Eve gives birth to Seth again, and then Seth has a son and calls him Enosh. And only after their grandson, Enosh, is born, it says that at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. And so I was just thinking about this with myself, with my parents, with the generations that have gone by, the way that we're different in each generation, how we internalize, how we go silent, how we don't let things out, how grief sits in our body, how we don't heal. And I was thinking about how many years had gone by, how long had Adam and Eve stayed silent in their pain and their sin. And yeah, and only after their grandchild was born did people begin to open their mouths and cry out to God. But until then, the generations remain silent and withdrawn and internalizing. And then I thought about it. I was like, how good is this that in, you know, under the new covenant with Jesus, that we don't have to do that. And we can cry out on the name of the Lord at any time. And I realized even in my own life, as I read this a couple of weeks ago, and God really started to dig down on me. He's like, hey, you're going silent and internalizing and overthinking and catastrophizing different things in your life, but you don't have to do that, Andy. The veil has been torn in two.
Come on.
The pain, you know what I mean? Like, we have this full access to connect with the living God. And I guess for me, even thinking about the listeners that are, whether you're driving or folding laundry or, you know, whatever it is you're doing right now, maybe just ask yourself, like, where have you gone silent? Where have you become withdrawn and internalized in what you've been through, or maybe what you're in the middle of? Maybe you're in need of a miracle, of healing in your body, and you've lost hope, or reconciliation with a spouse or a child, but you've lost hope and you've gone silent and you've internalized and you've catastrophized and you've lost your faith and your hope. And I guess really for me, like, this, it encouraged me so deeply reading this that I guess in a way I want to encourage anyone who's listening to cry out to God, begin to open your mouth again. That small thing of opening your mouth and letting out the pain, letting out the things you've internalized, whether you're driving in the car, in the shower, or wherever you are, share your pain with this good and present God who has gone before you to redeem and restore all things. And I guess that's the thing I would say, like, don't hold back. I think I shared it last time we were all together, was when we are wounded, we believe lies, and then those lies become false belief systems because we internalize them, that become strongholds where we make vows and say, I will never allow so-and-so or this organization or whatever to hurt me again. But don't internalize, like, process your pain properly before God and allow there to be healing. And I just really too want to encourage people listening. I do believe that many of you listening are the generational breaker for your family line.
Come on. Come on.
And so therefore, what that means is, it's like, don't follow the same patterns. Like, do something different. Otherwise, keep doing the same thing. You're going to have the same thing. So be that first generation, even though it's difficult, you have to keep taking the high road and doing the right thing. Be the one who is the generational breaker, who cries out upon the name of the Lord. That divorce stops with our family line. Addiction stops with our family line. You know what I mean? So cry out to God. Don't internalize it all. Let it out. And so that's what I want to encourage everybody in, because it really deeply encouraged me as I read in Genesis and saw something new.
Well, so somebody got a text. Well, I was just going to ask for an amen, and somebody beat me to it. They gave me an amen with three hearts. They love that. Somebody else got to text me an amen. Well, I'm thinking, Irene and Carolyn, also chime in here, but as someone who has dealt with grief and regret and helps others get over that, I would imagine that's one of the enemy's favorite tools to those who live in so much regret over the past that they internalize it and they come into places of self-contempt. I think self-contempt is killing the body of Christ. It's really so devastating. So speak to that, and all three of you if you like. But Irene, what do you say?
I think that whole self-contempt thing is so real. It prevents us from showing up and being our authentic, broken human selves. And we all are in need of a savior. And when we are hiding behind this pretense that we have to have it all together or that we have to be perfect because we're Christians, I just find that it literally is just going to lead to a life that is not abundant like Jesus promised, but more hiding and more like we're being a lie. And it's exhausting trying to be someone that you're not, you know, like it's, which is perfection. None of us are perfect. So
yeah,
I just kind of feel like we'd get so much more free if we just, I think, became more acquainted with what we're not and with our past, all our mistakes, acknowledging them. I think there's such freedom in that.
Awesome. Carolyn, did you want to add anything?
My mom and dad were first-generation Christians. They gave their lives to Jesus literally within a week of my birth. And so I grew up, they started reading their Bible. And so I always had that lens of they were a first-generation Christian, and they had to really push through some deep, horrific things in their family and their bloodline and the genetics, you know, addictions. And I was so thankful that I grew up second generation Christian. And then I've been able to fight through some things, and my kids are third generation. And so I'm, as a pastor, I see a lot of people who are first generation Christians, and I do exactly, I'm just encouraging them, not to say it's harder, but it is harder. You are pushing, you are the first one to graduate college. You're the first one to push through divorce or depression or, you know, any of these things. And so I always love to encourage people, Do it. Like, it's worth it. Hold on and let me help support you, because I'm sitting here as a second generation. My kids are third, and depression is not as severe as it was for my father, first generation Christian, as it is for my children. Do you know what I mean? And we had that prayer meeting where we cut it, you know, and said depression will end here. You know what I mean? So now we still go through proper counseling, and, you know, I'm not saying depression's completely gone, but what I am saying is it doesn't have the same stronghold as it did with my father, as it does with my children. And so anyway, I think it's very important that we're aware of that dynamic and how we pastor and encourage each other, and then how we persevere.
So good. Okay. We're going to pause here, but Andy makes such an amazing point that when you're silent and you isolate, it's the haven for, you know, unholy bacteria, you know, something in your soul that's toxic and viral and bad for you. But when you come clean and you are honest, I mean, think about the people in the New Testament who would not be silent, who pressed through the crowd, who shouted out to Jesus, who climbed a tree, whatever they had to do to get to Jesus, to get the help they needed. There's something about that faith and tenacity that really got his attention. Andy, that was fantastic. Talking, it's the Bible Talk team today. We do this once a month. Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas. So grateful. We've got a book bundle to give away, a book from each of us. So two of you will win a 4-book bundle. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. See a lot of amens that came in. Thank you for those. When we come back, we'll hear from Irene. She talks about how to gracefully face our flaws. I often say, guess what? We get to be a work in process without the condemnation. Think about that. You get to be a work in process without the condemnation. We'll talk more about that and how to reframe our fears. More with the Bible Talk team in a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I know you're going to see me through it. If anybody can, you can do it. God, I know in the trial and the pain, fire and the rain, you're going to see me through it. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. It's the Bible Talk team. We get them on once a month. Author, Bible speakers, Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas join me. We just come to the table, have a round table discussion about the Word of God. And just, you know how at the open of every show I ask, what's the Lord been talking about these days? Well, this is kind of an expanded version of that, of women who are out there on the front lines ministering, spending lots of time in God's Word. Just thought it'd be a great opportunity to give some time and space to really dig in together. As Andy talked about, not being silent, and especially the idea of that like sin and trauma from past generations can pass down generation after generation. And the more silent we are, the more captive we are. It was such a good word. This dear listener texted in and said, "Amen. Put me to tears as I continue to struggle to ask why and how long do I have to suffer this battle?" She says she fights through pain of feeling lost and forgotten by so many. She's been homebound for 2 years. She says, "Thank you for always having such encouraging guests. Truly helps her fight and always gives her hope. God bless you all. God bless you. You're not suffering alone." Well, let's move to Irene. In the show notes, you talked about the idea of gracefully facing your flaws, and then doing that allows you to reframe your fears. Talk about that more, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Really, my biggest struggle my entire life has been being able to admit my flaws, because admitting my flaws meant acknowledging that I wasn't perfect, that I was broken, that there was some, I felt shame about it, like something was wrong with me. So I'm asked all the time, how do you so boldly share that you're a grateful believer in Jesus Christ overcoming alcohol addiction? I'm 7 years, almost 5 months sober now. And why I'm so bold about it is because of God's word and what he has spoken to me through 2 Corinthians 12:9. I love it. I've read it in several different versions, but I love how the Apostle Paul talks about how, I'm afraid he wanted to be kept from being conceited. So he really acknowledged this thorn in his flesh, and he thought it was meant to torment him. But really, when he asked God to take it away 3 times, the Lord said the same thing to him, that, my grace is sufficient for you. It's all you need. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is actually perfected in your weakness. So don't be so concerned, Irene, about that flaw, about that thorn in the flesh, about the fact that you can never drink again, because that's what being an alcoholic is. I abused it to the point where I can't drink again. That doesn't make me bad. So acknowledging it is boasting really on the grace of God that has been at work in me. Through his grace and mercy, I hit rock bottom. And as a result, my family, myself, my children, my marriage is better because I hit rock bottom, acknowledged my trauma, acknowledged my fears. And literally the love of Christ comes in, and like his word says, it casts out all fear. It expels it. And as I have defeated the fear that kept me from being my authentic self, and I've, literally faced shame in the face every time I said, I'm a grateful alcoholic. And as a result, I've been asked that question, how can you boast about it? In fact, on one of the previous shows, someone had asked the question about AA and the 11th tradition. And for those of you who don't know what that's about, the gist of it is it's about attraction versus promotion. And what the person asked, what would my response to the 11th tradition be? My response would be that my life is governed by Jesus Christ and the Bible. And as a result, 2 Corinthians 12:9 clearly tells me that I can boast on my weaknesses because of the power of Christ that's at work in me. In fact, one version, I love it. It says in the Living Bible, "Now I am glad to boast about how weak I am. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my own powers and abilities." So really, me boasting about my weaknesses is, again, just bringing light to the fact that I'm happy about this thorn in my flesh now. I'm happy about being an alcoholic because it brings me to constant surrender for God to keep me sober and keep me doing the work to stay sober. And when I share my story, all I'm doing is giving other people hope and really just inspiration that they can get well too, and they don't have to hide in shame. They can reach out for help. And I practiced this principle today when I reached out to Carolyn and Andy and said, "Hey, I have vacation brain. I'm struggling with just confidence today." And they had both encouraged me, and I was just fearful of the fact that I'd say the wrong thing today. And just something as simple as acknowledging my weakness there, I believe the Lord comes right in when you reach out for help and I prayed and the Holy Spirit came and here I am.
You know, it's just amazing how that ties to what Andy said, too, because, again, boasting in your weakness versus hiding your weakness. If you hide your weakness, you're going to fear your weakness. And, you know, and Carolyn and Andy, I'll have you both speak to this, too. But, you know, the enemy would want us sin conscious. You know, God wants us righteous conscious, right? But also well aware. You know, if we fear our weakness and we hide our weakness, the enemy can hide in that space. But to go, I can be who I am. Bold-faced in the grace of God to say, not I, but Christ who lives in me. So I don't have to fear my weakness, but my focus is on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Carolyn, what I'm saying as far as it's like if we fear constantly messing up or fear we're going to say the wrong thing, we end up saying the wrong thing. But if we say, this is who I am, you know, but I've been crucified with Christ. You know, there's like a juxtaposition of humility, as Irene was saying, admitting our weakness and a boldness going, but not I, but Christ in me. I mean, say a word, if you would, about that.
What I think is fun is that even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's literally going to the cross, and yet he is vulnerable with his Heavenly Father and says, I don't want to do this if there's another way. I think that's even sharing an opinion. It's a feeling. It's a weakness.
Vulnerability.
It is a vulnerability. And that's mm-hmm. what, you know, that's the example is taking our vulnerabilities and not hiding them. Do you know what I mean? But because mm-hmm. Jesus called it out, called his own follow and said, I don't want to, then he was able to experience the grace of the Heavenly Father. Okay, but not my will, but yours be done. And so I'm such a fan of, here's all my weaknesses, Jesus help.
mm-hmm. Right? Andy, what do you say? Anything you want to speak to after Irene shared?
Yeah, it's so funny because even this morning as I sat here, I'm in Vegas with my friend and we were
They're not
there.
In Vegas for the reason you think, I'm just saying. I'm just kidding.
No,
totally kidding.
To get out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they're full closed right now.
Yeah.
But we sat out on her deck, you know, this morning having a cup of coffee together. And it's funny because it was me not internalizing, me sharing a weakness with her. So all of this is like coinciding and coming together where I realized, wow, one of the things that I'll just openly share was I was like, gosh, when I compare myself amongst others, comparing ourselves amongst ourselves is not wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I realized I become so discontent with who I am. And as I sat there today, and I was like, you know what? Actually, when I really am not comparing myself amongst anyone else, I'm really satisfied in my lane, in my life, with my people, like realizing one of my gross weaknesses can be envy or something's missing or I need to do better. And so I just love Irene. Once again, Irene's one of those ones that I'll text to all the time too. I'm like, I'm being gross today. Will you still love me? I tell her stuff. So
always.
I'm just so grateful that, yes, Carol and I agree too, that even Jesus showed us the way in his weakness and we all have them. And it's when his glory comes, when we, you know, the present is the point where time touches eternity. That's what C.S. Lewis says. So allow eternity to come into your situation in this present moment. Allow your weakness to just be touched by God and glorified in him. So I'm down. I'm all for it.
So beautiful. Wow, you guys, thank you for that. We're going to pause for the break. And when we come back, we'll hear from Carolyn Haas. But I think, you know, the theme is not hiding your weaknesses, not hiding past generational sins, coming into community. And I just feel led to say, for those who don't have community, one of the things Dr. John Townsend said last time he was on the show is if you can't become who you were meant to be outside of community. So if you don't have it, go through your Rolodex, look for people that ask you questions who aren't me monsters. Call them and say, can we get on a Zoom call? Even if they're out of state, can we get on a Zoom call once a week or every other week and connect? Find your community because God has them, and find them in your local church as well. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. It is Bible Talk Team Day. We have these gals on once a month. They're my Bible Talk Team, Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas. They're all out there on the front lines serving God, speaking, writing, serving in the local church and equipping leaders. And it's so fun every month to get them around the table to talk about what God is speaking to them about. We've gone around the table to Andy, to Irene, and we're on Carolyn now. And yours is such an interesting topic. You talk about how familiarity can hinder the best of what God has for us, for ourselves, even for those that we know too well, maybe. So say more, Carolyn.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been reading in Mark chapter 6. And so the passage I'm going to talk about today is verses 1 through 6. The context is that Jesus goes home and he teaches in his hometown. And if I just put myself in that situation, I mean, he's been famous. He's been doing lots of miracles, lots of teaching. It's kind of fun to go home. It's the people who saw you grow up. Like, what do you want? You want people to be proud of you. You want the people who've known you the longest to be proud of you, right? So what's interesting about this passage and this story is that it says that people that were there in his hometown had several responses. They were amazed. They acknowledged the wisdom and the power to perform miracles. So they were like, oh, he's amazing. He's awesome. They saw that there was power. Then they scoffed. Then they went into, so initially he's amazing, but he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of his sisters. Then it says they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus goes on to say a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and among his own family. So often we've used that scripture of, yeah, your family's kind of difficult to deal with. But I think it's important that we dive deeper because it was actually because of their unbelief, scripture says, because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them, which actually sounds like my life. I mean, that's what I do every Sundays. I place a few hands on a few sick people. Do you know what I mean? I'm not seeing mighty miracles every day. I'm seeing mighty miracles once a month maybe, right? But it was like, And then we see this emotion out of Jesus. Jesus was amazed, but he was amazed at their unbelief.
Yeah.
So what I find interesting about this passage is that Jesus' reputation was clear. Amazing teaching, wisdom was evident, power to perform miracles. There was no doubt about it. It wasn't like, so Jesus was having a bad day. He was grumpy. You know, he wasn't having a bad day. He hadn't gotten weak. Nothing had changed about Jesus, but familiarity caused them to scoff. And I thought it's so easy to not see ourselves in this story, but if we're not careful, I think we actually do the same thing. There are people in our life that we're not teachable to. There are people in our life where we allow our familiarity with them to hinder us, whether it's coworkers, family members, people in our church. Maybe it's people we've known them for so long, we see the 10-year version of them. I remember when they were crazy 10 years ago. We know the pre-Jesus side of them. Or I went to college with them or high school, or I knew them when they were a dork, when they were clueless. I think with siblings, I see this so often. I rarely see siblings honor one another in the body of Christ. And because you see so much sibling rivalry, not just in church staff, you know, spiritually siblings, but I see so much family rivalry where we see our siblings as the dorky kid that I knew when you were in third grade and fifth grade and you had acne and that was your chubby stage and whatever siblings do, they always razz each other rather than a grown-up adult that's filled with the Holy Spirit that can hear from God. And I think it can actually impact our ability to honor our siblings. I think that's a whole separate topic that I would love to dive into is what would it look like if we actually had honor in our families and if we actually honored our siblings, I think we could receive more. So anyway, I think we also see people through a lens of assumptions and conclusions. I think we see people through their Enneagram number. We see people through their age, through generations. Oh, they're a boomer. They're a Gen Z. They're a Gen X. They're millennial. Like we have our labels for people. Our scoffing leads to deep offense, which actually becomes a self-fulfilled prophecy. So then it impacts our belief, it impacts our faith, it impacts our ability to experience miracles. So let me say it this way. You won't receive the anointing that that person carries, which means sickness remained in that village. Sickness remained in Nazareth. Instead of having mighty miracles, Jesus left and there was still sickness in that place. So it made me, every time I read the Bible, I'm like, okay, if this is in scripture, what am I supposed to process from it? So it made me journal, who do I see as familiar? Who am I personally scoffing at? Like, what miracles am I missing in my life due to the way that I view those around me? I don't want to miss what God's doing in front of me. I'll never forget the story of Peter one time late night was scrolling through the TV channels and some TV evangelist came on and it was definitely someone who he instantly started scoffing at and was like, oh, I struggle with this TV evangelist. And he just started ripping on him because it was just someone he didn't really respect. And he instantly felt the Holy Spirit stop him and say, stop it right now and listen. And literally, it doesn't even matter what the TV evangelist said. It was like, it happened to be a word that Peter needed to hear. And it was such a wake-up call of like, I could have missed that insight because of my scoffing, I was making assumptions about this particular TV personality. And so anyway, I just think it's something that we don't talk about, and I think we need to.
I think it's so powerful, and there's several things that are coming to me, and I can't wait till the other girls chime in too. But one is when the disciples were coming back from town buying food, Jesus was with a Samaritan woman, and their faces showed their scoff because they were shocked to see Jesus talking with this woman, which means they had still an outdated opinion of Samaritans, right? And yet Jesus had an updated opinion of her, and he knew her fully. And the scripture says, the pure in heart see God. And there's another one. He who receives a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. So if you have a pure in heart, if you're pure in heart towards others and you receive them in Christ Jesus, you become a recipient of the fruit in their life. But if you don't have a pure heart towards them, you don't get to be a benefactor of all that God has deposited. And I wonder in the body of Christ how many silos there are because of familiarity, because of outdated opinions. Like we take pride in our own opinion. And Paul says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We don't judge too quickly. In the very next line, what's too quickly? Before Christ returns. So, Carolyn, I think you could write a whole book on this. This feels really, really important because this is what the outside world watches as we scoff and divide and judge and make assumptions and premature conclusions. So there's firepower on what you just said. And I think I just don't want to rush past it too quickly. And I would love, Andy, do you have thoughts you want to chime in?
Yeah, as you were talking about this, I was actually just thinking, even in my parenting, right? So you have your kiddos who you have, like, we believe the most in them, but I'm about to release a senior into the world. And I have, you know, this is a big year for him. He's wrestled from going to, I just want to, you know, move back to New York, or college isn't for me, to, I can't wait to go to college, to, I'm going to take a gap year. And I'm getting frustrated. But I sat across, like, it's almost like over familiar with my son, because I see all the things he needs to work on. I also see all of his strengths and all of the things in him. And I sat across from this pastor who his son rose up and planted and is pastoring this great church. And he looked at me and he goes, I just need to say something to you because I know you have a senior. He goes, never in all of my years would I peg this son to pastor a thriving church. I thought he was going to do something way different. Never would have thought. He goes, you never know what is going to come out of your children. So just keep. And I was like, whoa, like that was even for me as a parent. Don't grow over familiar, even with your children. Continue to pray like God's destiny and purpose into their lives. So that is, funnily enough, as I listened to you, Carolyn, I was like, ooh, that conviction still keeps hitting me with my kiddos. Like, yeah. Can show that I'm not growing over familiar even with them, because I want to see what God has like flow through them in such powerful ways.
Beautiful. Just seeing with fresh eyes. Irene, what do you say?
That's so good, Andy. I was immediately thinking about how in marriage, we get so familiar, we start to lose energy and focus, like our spouse becomes less and less of a priority. We can become disrespectful, defensive, criticizing one another, and even become cynical. And it eats away at our love relationship, right? And our intimacy. And it causes, like, sometimes if we do this dance long enough and become familiar, and we don't fight familiarity, we distance ourselves in marriage, and some couples aren't able to come back from it. And you made me think of Galatians 5, where when someone, I can't remember who said it, but someone said something about fruit, and I thought about fruit of the Spirit. And if you, in Galatians 5, you know where it talks about this, it's a constant wrestle between flesh and the Spirit. So when we're in the flesh, we're, you know, thinking envy, we're resentful, we're not loving the way Jesus has called us to love, right? So how do we fight this familiarity? And the first thing that came to my mind was the fruit of the Spirit. So if this war is always going on, I want to ask myself, as I think thoughts of my husband and my marriage, are my thoughts of him, are my behaviors producing fruit? Like, is it about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, or the things that the Bible talks about in Galatians 5 that come before that, when we're just really overly familiar and stuck in our flesh, then we're going to be hostile and quarreling and jealousy and bursts of anger. So my thought is, let's, like, literally you could take the gifts of the Spirit, line them up, and line them up next to the things of the flesh. and really weigh, where am I leaning today towards my mm-hmm. spouse? And just mm-hmm. not getting familiar with our spouses, because they're a gift and we made this covenant. So let's work at it so we don't become overly yeah. familiar and lose what God gave us.
So good. I mean, what I hear all of you saying is staying curious about our loved ones, stay curious about the people in our neighborhood and our church. There's always new questions. I mean, you think about it, we all change all the time. I mean, life impacts us. So to stay curious with each other and honor each other's story. Carolyn, that was just such a powerful word. Thank you for sharing that. So before we go to break, I'll just share one of the things that's been on my heart. I've been hanging around in the book of Acts, and just the theme that I saw in chapters 8 and 9 is this idea that our calling obviously calls us out of our comfort zone, but so often really powerful ministry awaits us on the other side of the low door of humility, where there's times, you know, I always say, when you look at Jesus, when he washed the disciples' feet, in John 13, it just reminds us that as Christ followers, we're not too big for small things and we're not too small for big things. And we always need to remember that. But Philip, you know, was preaching in Samaria, and it just signs and wonders were following him. I mean, evil spirits were cast out. People were being healed. People were being saved. You know, it just was amazing, amazing ministry. But then the Holy Spirit told him to go down this desert road. And I just want you to imagine, I thought we were dancing, Lord. There's all this good stuff happening over here, but I want you to go down the desert road. And he didn't blink. He just did it. And as he went down this desert road, he encountered this high-level eunuch that served the queen of Ethiopia. And this person had a heart for God in a high position of authority, riding in a carriage, reading the scriptures. And the Lord said, go walk next to this carriage and ask them if they understand what they're reading. And I mean, just think about this. He was out of his comfort zone, but he obeyed the Holy Spirit, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand unless someone teaches me? So Philip jumps up inside the carriage and teaches him. And then the man gets so excited about the power of the Holy Spirit, and he says, why can't I be baptized right now? There's some water. So they stop the carriage, and they go, and Philip baptizes him. And right as he's coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit snatches Philip away and sends him to another town. And so, but that didn't bother the eunuch. He just went on his way rejoicing. He didn't like second guess what had happened. Oh, well, that's weird, but this is awesome, you know? And then you go to Saul's conversion. He was trying to get permission to haul men and women out of their homes and drag them back to Jerusalem in chains. He was relentless. He was harsh. He was mean. He was merciless. And then Jesus confronts him and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he gets, you know, he's blinded, and he tells them to tell them where to go. Well, then he reaches out to Ananias and he says, go to Straight Street, the house of Judas. There you get there. Ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying right now. And Ananias is saying, how can I do that? He's the man who's been killing Christians. So here again, Ananias is called to humble himself and go outside of his comfort zone, but he had the privilege of preaching to Saul, saying, the Lord sent me to you. And then one more story that I just think was so interesting in Acts 10, where a Roman officer lived, and his name was Cornelius. And he was somebody, he again was a Roman officer, but he had a heart for the Jewish people. He had a heart for God. He did things for the poor. He was devout and a seeking heart. And it's amazing that the Lord spoke to Peter and said, don't call unclean what the Lord has made clean, because God called Peter to go speak to Cornelius and enter a Gentile's house. And he's like, I could never do that. I follow the law. And he says, don't you call unclean what I've made clean. So he's calling Peter. This was the beginning of the explosion of the church and the gospel going to the Gentiles, because Peter was willing to humble himself, knowing he'd be ridiculed and criticized, which he was. But he went to Cornelius' house anyway, and the Spirit of God fell upon that meeting, and that family was saved. And all that to say, I know that there's going to be times in the days ahead, friends, when you've got judgments, you've maybe got familiarity, judgments with people, and they're the very people God wants you to reach. And that low door of humility may lead you to a place of unbelievable, amazing signs and wonders ministry. But are we humble enough, and are we curious enough? I think one of the things that stuck out to me that you said, Carolyn, was that they reasoned themselves out of awe. They were in awe at first of Jesus' signs and wonders, but they reasoned themselves out of awe. And I think we need to stay in awe so God can use us in miraculous ways. All right, so when we come back, if the girls want to comment, they sure can. But otherwise, we're going to go around and do another just short roundtable about just other things God's been speaking to us about. So more with the Bible Talk team in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening to Suzy Larson Live. You know, it's podcasts like mine that are available because of listener support. And we're just a few weeks away from our spring fundraiser. You can make a gift now and help us start strong on April 24th. Give now by following the link in the show notes or visit myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. By the way, you may notice we're not using music as often at the bumpers, but we need to slowly remove those and use unlicensed music or licensed music. I don't remember which one, but it's a licensing issue. So anyway, sorry about the instrumentals, but that's the route we're going right now. And I love, love, love music, but that is what we're doing. And I hope that's okay. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Bible Talk Team Day. We get these girls on once a month. They're on the front lines. They're equipping leaders, speaking around the country. Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas. And we just go around the table sharing the things we're digging out of Scripture, the things that God is speaking to us about. And we're giving away two book bundles today. So a book is coming from each of us. So a book bundle of four to two of you. And you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Carolyn, during the break, you started talking. I'm like, wait. I want you to save it for the air. But what I was saying, how the really amazing ministry opportunities are waiting for us on the other side of the low door of humility, that we make our judgments and assumptions, but if we'll be humble enough and crawl through that door, you know, go to the places that maybe we don't want to go, we will see God move in marvelous ways. You said, Peter, your hubby was just preaching on humility
yes.
this weekend.
Well, as
Say
you
it.
Were talking, the scripture that came to mind was 1 Peter 5:5, and it's God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And what was so interesting, my husband Peter was talking this last Sunday at church, and he was preaching on how humility and God opposing the proud and giving grace to the humble is a spiritual principle. And you can be a non-Christian who is arrogant and God will oppose you. You can be a Christian who is arrogant and God will oppose you. Mm-hmm. You can be a Christian who is humble and God will give you grace. You can be a non-Christian who is humble, which was Cornelius. He did not know the name of Jesus. He only knew the name of God and he prayed and he gave generously. He did not know Jesus, the name by which we must be saved. He was not a Christian, and yet he was humble. And what did God do? God gave him grace, and God revealed himself.
Hallelujah.
And so I just think that's, you know, the theme here is I want to be humble, and I do not want to be arrogant in how I approach people, how I think about people. You know, teachability is the ability to learn that which you think you already know. And I think that's where I think we get into sibling rivalry or looking at our peers or coworkers or family members or church members or you name it, anyone in our life. And we think, I already know this. I went to school for this. I have a degree in this. You don't know. And we so are focused on other people's failures or their past or their personality that we get arrogant in our knowledge versus, you know what? You could be right. There's more to the universe that I do not know. There's more to God's word that I do not know. God, would you reveal yourself to me?
So good. So good, hon. Anybody else? Irene, you want to go next?
Oh my goodness. I'm just taking all of that in. Like that was so good. I mean, I just can't help but think about just how humbling it is to just going back to what I was sharing about earlier, when we admit our weaknesses, that's humility. Like that's saying, like, I need you, God. Like, this is the part of me that I can't do on my own. And it's just, I just think about even the scripture that says grace upon grace upon grace and favor gets heaped on us when we are in a posture ourselves in humility. So I'm just convinced that this spiritual principle, I've seen it happen, Carolyn, like people who aren't even, my kids would say to me, Mom, they're not even saved or they're not even a Christian. And look at how God's given them favor or whatever. But I'm like, hey, let's look at some of the characteristics. They operate in integrity. They're generous. Mm. They're humble.
Good.
And, you know, it's like, I've seen that scripture live out loud.
Mm, so good. Andy, anything you want to add?
Honestly, I just really enjoyed listening to the whole thing. I feel like I learned so much. But I think the only other thing that I thought was, I think throughout life, how many times I'm like, God, I want to be humbled privately and not humbled publicly. So I've got to choose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Like choose that humility, because he will give you grace for all of those weaknesses, all of that stuff, if you keep humbling yourself. Otherwise, I mean, I don't like it, the times where I've been humbled by God instead of choosing humility. So just like those two things as well is something that I've constantly had before me.
The next verse, literally 1 Peter 5:6, is exactly what you just said. So humble yourselves. Do it. Your job. Under the mighty power of God and all the right time, and he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Irene, that's what you're talking about. Be honest about your struggles and your weaknesses. Like, give it. Like, be honest about it.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, come on, let's go.
So good. All right. So we've got about just about 4 minutes left, a little under that. So we're going to give just 2 minutes to each of you just to give some final closing thoughts or something else God's been really impressing upon your heart. Carolyn, we'll go with you.
Okay. You know what? My 2 minutes will be this. This morning, I woke up crying out to God. I didn't get enough sleep. I just cried out to God for mercy for my day. And some things happened in my schedule that rearranged. God answered some prayers. Like, I had an incredible therapy appointment with my counselor that it was godly and needed and life-giving and helpful for me. And I walked away starting at 5:50 when my alarm went off this morning, kind of going, oh God, help, you know, by 11 o'clock, I was like, God, you're so faithful. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Promises of God, the word of God, the prophetic words of God. I just felt so encouraged and free. So I think I just want to encourage you, even from my own day today, wherever you're at, cry out to God. He hears you. He will rearrange your day. He has provision for you. He sees you, and he's got what you need.
Somebody give me an amen. 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 Come on. All right, Irene, what about you?
I woke up this morning and was reading Isaiah 43:1-2. And I want to encourage the listeners out there who may be like me. And I was just kind of thinking about this whole idea of fear this morning. And so I jumped into the scripture, and the Lord just encouraged me that he's with me and that I shouldn't fear. And, you know, he's already done the work through the, and he promises in this scripture, like in the deep waters, in the storms of life, when I feel like I'm drowning, when listeners out there feel like they're drowning, when they're alone and feeling isolated, God is with you. He's with you to walk through the fire. You won't be consumed. You won't be burned. And though you go through the fire, you know what? You will not smell like smoke. I declare it. I decree it. I believe it, because I've been through the fire and I don't smell like smoke. So the same for you is
hallelujah.
What I am.
Preach it, baby. Preach it. Love it. All right, Andy. I picture you sitting in the middle of a bunch of fold clothes with your darling curly hair. That's how I see you in my mind's eye. But tell us what you got.
Well, you're seeing extremely accurately. man, I guess the thing I would really encourage, I've been encouraging myself, and it's kind of been a word for the year for me, is realizing that I am prepared for a lot of earthly things, but am I prepared in the spiritual? Because Matthew 26:41 tells us, watch and pray. And this was Jesus in Gethsemane saying to his close friends, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And so therefore, just more training in the spirit, leaning to what, leaning into that. Like I am, like I said, I'm prepared in the physical for so many things, but God, I want more of you, more overflow, leaning into the spirit. It does kind of reconnect to, Carolyn said it again, we're all kind of talking about, but crying out to God, being in that place. And that all comes out of just, I've been reading the 10 virgins and getting rocked by that prophecy. And so I don't have enough time to go into it, but really the depths of preparation just in the spirit, being in a healthy place, because life is wild. Like, I mean, I've been all over the place. Mama is tired. but knowing that I can lean into the presence and the power of God wherever I am at any time to watch and pray and not enter into temptation. So simple words. But we could dive deeper. We're going to keep it right there for now.
All right. Well, that's really how I was going to close as well. I have so many verses that I've been thinking, sober-minded, be watchful, dressed and ready for service, be self-controlled, be sober-minded in your prayers. There's this call and this invitation to be expectant, ready, and waiting, and I pray we can live that way. Girls, you guys are amazing. I know you're all busy. That you would give us your time today means the world to us. Thank you with all my heart. Thank you for the time.
Love you, Susie. Thank you.
Love you as well. Yes, and love you, friends. Thank you for tuning in today. I pray you found some encouragement today. Love these roundtable discussions. We love and appreciate you. Stay in the Word. Cry out to God. Be honest when you're in need. Be humble and grateful that God lets you be a work in progress without any condemnation. Total affection. He is for you. He loves you. And He is faithful to deliver you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.